We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're watching the ACC on ESPN. Listen to this place. Think they're fired up here at Cameron, and why not? It's Duke.
Imagining a basketball team playing in a very tight, enclosed quarters for decades, for years and years, ever since it was built, you know, over close to almost 80 years ago, where our students are on top of our court and it's so loud and hot in Cameron, and now it's empty. What do we do to make that environment as close to what the original environment is supposed to be? How do we do that?
The crazies are to Cameron as peanut butter is to jelly. They just go together. But this year, as we know, has been unlike any other. And due to the COVID-19 pandemic, winter sports at Duke will begin with no fans in attendance. So as Coach K and his staff are preparing for this upcoming season and the product on the court, there's a girl gang behind the scenes also preparing, but for the product off the court. What will Cameron Indoor Stadium look and sound like without the crazies? From Duke Athletics, I'm Rebecca Fiorentino.
This is Blue Devil 360, the official podcast of Duke Athletics.
Ladies, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
It is the girl gang.
So who is this girl gang? Let's start by some introductions.
DJ Khaled. Hey. Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
My name is Rachel Curtis, and I am an assistant athletic director at Duke. I work primarily in men's basketball, running the Legacy Fund with my partner in crime, Debbie Savarino. And my other half of my brain, I run our environmental branding for Duke Athletics.
I am Debbie Savarino. I am an assistant athletic director at Duke as well. I am a co-director of the Legacy Fund. And I also work on game day atmosphere and special event planning in our athletic department.
I am Megan Arce, and I'm the director of marketing, and I work with Debbie on game day atmosphere and other marketing related elements for Duke men's basketball.
I'm Michaela Ryan. I'm the associate director of game operations, and I am the game operations manager for men's and women's basketball in Cameron.
Let's go back to the beginning of planning for Cameron without crazies. Take me back to the first meeting when deciding what Cameron was going to look like.
So I would like to start off by saying, once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there was a terrible pandemic called COVID. And we in the Duke basketball world had kind of been told that there might be might not be able to have fans in our beautiful stadium due to safety reasons. And my girl, Rachel Curtis, was on the phone, and Rachel with another friend of ours named Mark Schmitz, who works at Zebra Dog. And Rachel, why don't you kind of tell us from there?
I've been working with Zebra Dog and Mark Schmitz for almost 15 years now, working on all of our environmental branding and graphics throughout all of athletics. And so where that really starts is in Cameron and in men's basketball. And then we grow that out to the other 26 sports so that we have a cohesive look and feel. So that's a little bit of the background. So I guess it was in late May, Mark Schmitz,
Zebra Dog
reached out to me and he said, "What are we going to do in Cameron?" And to be frank with you, we had not even really started thinking along those lines yet. We were just focusing on getting our team here safely and healthily. So that's when we really started diving into what do we want it to look like. And that's when we first started seeing cutouts in other stadiums, and we knew we didn't want to go the route that everybody else was going. We knew that whatever we did at Duke in Duke basketball had to be innovative and totally unique and totally true to Cameron and the Cameron Crazies. That was most important, is we wanted to honor our program, so our coaches and our history and our players, but also honor the Cameron Crazies in a really unique way. So it started from a conversation with Mark Schmitz and Zebra Dog. And then as soon as we started getting into it, I said, hold on. We got to get Debbie on the phone too, because while I handle the environmental branding, which is what this seems like, Debbie handles the game day atmosphere. So it was really coming together of those two worlds.
And then we decided we had to get the whole girl gang together, because if we were going to make this unique and innovative plan work, we needed all the pieces. We needed the marketing piece. We needed the facilities piece. We needed the game operations piece. And so we pulled in Megan and we pulled in Michaela and we said, all right, what do you guys think about this? And we put the plan out in front of them, and they had wonderful ideas about how to install things. They had great ideas on how to market, a marketability of the branding in Cameron. And we all just kind of pulled together and made Cameron look as beautiful as she possibly can be in the circumstances that we're currently in.
Okay, and speaking of the circumstances that we're in, we all have to be really cognizant that we are working with a really limited budget, which is essentially no budget. And we want to be really careful, you know, in a time like this when people are really, really having to be responsible, that we wanted to fall in line too. So we went to a donor specifically with this project in mind. And he has been a really good friend to our program for many years and a K Academy participant going back for 15 or so years. But at any rate, he was really excited about funding this and actually joined the Legacy Fund as well. So it is completely paid for.
This setup is not just for men's basketball, right? It's not completely sports specific.
Yeah.
It is set up for women's basketball, and we can also reuse for volleyball. And that was very much in the thought process of all of us in making sure that we were able to do those things. It can't only be for one sport. We've got to be able to use it in multiple ways.
For Rachel, as far as branding, what's maybe something that people may not know about the branding of Cameron Indoor Stadium?
So overall, what some people may not know is that we have some pretty strict guidelines and standards that we have to stick to. So we obviously fall under the umbrella of Duke University, which has a very strict branding guideline. So we have to fit within that. But then also all branding within Duke Athletics, we have a certain color that we have to stick to that is Duke Blue, PMS 287. And we cannot differ from that. We also have several fonts that we're allowed to use, and they have to be used in very specific ways. And stylistically, we have style guidelines as well. So when each team wants to use something, they have to essentially kind of run it up the flagpole, and it has to be approved. And I have that fun job of approving it. So that's probably the thing that most people would not know, is that we are pretty strict about our standards and it cannot really be altered.
Michaela, game days obviously are going to look just a little bit different this year. What had to go into the planning for everything that encompasses with getting a game day ready? Security, crazies coming in. What was the process of, you know, trying to get Cameron ready, but also make it safe?
We kind of started looking at this in the summer as well, and really got Debbie, Rachel, and Megan involved just to make sure that everything was safe, but then also, you know, looked to how we, you know, want it to look in Cameron. So the biggest thing for me for setup was looking at the NBA and the WNBA bubbles and what they did and how their setup was and how clean and safe it was. And, you know, it worked really well. So that was kind of what I modeled my stuff after. And, you know, Debbie helped me out with that a lot and was able to get a lot of pictures and videos. And I, you know, in turn would watch the games and see how it all functioned, and then kind of made my plan from there. And you can kind of notice the benches and how they're distanced, and then how there's multiple rows of it, and then the plexiglass around the scorer's table, you know, and the seating upstairs and how we distance that. And so it all, you know, again, started the plan in the summer and really watched the WNBA and NBA bubbles and saw how they did things and kind of went from there. And then also, you know, making our plan, but then having enough room in it for it to change based on what the ACC guidelines are and the NCAA guidelines once they came out with it. So, you know, my original plan isn't what we actually did. It was similar, but we definitely had to adjust things. So,
What were some things that you did have to adjust as far as who has access besides the team and their players, staff on the floor?
So our credentialing process is super different this year. We have a essential staff list that was made just so we know who's in the building and who's supposed to be there. The court enclosure itself is very specific in terms of who's allowed to be in there, and that guidance came from the ACC. And in terms of, you know, what the scorers table crew is supposed to be, who's allowed to be, you know, in that scorers table area, how many bench chairs we need to have, where they need to be. And then also, we have administrative chairs as well. So they were very specific. The ACC, did a great job in being very specific in terms of who is allowed in that court, enclosure, they called it, and, how that all works.
Now, ESPN obviously will be airing some games on their channels, as well as the ACC network. What does that look like as far as how cameras will be operating from the floor or up in the stands? What changed as far as that perspective?
And so the ACC came out and said that there aren't allowed to be any camera operators within 25 feet of the court and then 15 feet from the bench areas and essential personnel. So for us, that basically means that no camera operators can be on the court. So myself and Emily Hunter have been kind of brainstorming for a while about what we could do. And for volleyball, the cameras weren't allowed on the court in the court enclosure. So we had some practice with that. But really getting creative with robotic cameras are going to be a big thing this year. And just trying to replace the normal cameras on the court as best we can, but upstairs and, you know, with robotic cameras and whatever else we can come up with.
What about radio? So, you know, who's in the crow's nest? Who gets to be up there calling the games?
Yeah, so home radio will still be in the same radio booth in the crow's nest. We're going to put the game cameras in the TV crow's nest area. And then we built a kind of area for the announce booth, which is just below the crow's nest. So that's where the TV talent will sit when they do come for games. Most of the time they'll be remote, but when they are here, they'll sit there. And then visiting team radio and national radio will be over in the section 4 booth over in the corner. We've installed plexiglass for all of them. And I think the spaces are going to work really well with the plexiglass and, you know, as well as kind of splitting everyone out so they'll be able to distance.
What goes into the process, the thinking process, the meetings that have to take place as far as what we're going to do on game days versus what we're not going to be able to do this year, but we still want to keep the traditions and history of Cameron Indoor Stadium?
We've spent hours and hours on this topic and literally sitting in our gym and looking at it. And it isn't just, it's not just the importance of what it looks like, it's also the importance of what it sounds like. And so we've got to bring in our sound people to add extra speakers. What does the crowd noise sound like? What are the rules of playing our pep band's music? Can we do school-specific cheers in game? I mean, again, imagining a basketball team playing in a very tight enclosed quarters for decades, for years and years, ever since it was built, you know, over close to almost 80 years ago, where our students are on top of our court and it's so loud and hot in Cameron, and now it's empty. What do we do to make that environment as close to what the original environment is supposed to be? How do we do that?
I would say, I mean, I think we each kind of took like a very different role, but all worked really close hand in hand to make it all sort of go together and fit and make it feel like the best kind of atmosphere that we could provide in this type of situation. Michaela's whole focus was safety and making sure that everybody from the teams, the visiting team, officials, staff, and essential personnel all feel safe coming into our building and know that they are going to be put in the best position to not only perform their job duties, but be safe while doing it. And then kind of worked with Rachel and Debbie and myself on, you know, everything that she was doing from a safety perspective also includes very specific branding and a look and a feel so that we can stay within the brand guidelines and make it look really official and presentable and look and feel nice as opposed to just something that's thrown together. And then, you know, Rachel and Debbie working on what it looks like in the student section and the banners and things that we've put out to make it look like there's still people in the building and that whole perspective. And then, you know, my role was very focused on what does it sound like and feel like in Cameron for the team. We all know, like Debbie said, that it is loud. And the students have a huge part in that game day atmosphere. So when you don't have the people there cheering and yelling and doing the whole bit, it sounds and feels very different. And so we want to ensure that our team still has that home court advantage and make it look and feel as close to a regular game day as possible. And so my big focus was, taking music and things that we play on a regular game day, but enhancing that. So, you know, we'll have an undertone of crowd noise throughout the whole game so that it sounds like there's still people in the building. But then we're taking it a little bit step further and obviously staying within the guidelines that have been provided by the NCAA and the ACC. But we are planning to have, you know, crowd chants that can be pushed in as well. So not only do you have the undertone of the regular crowd noise, but our students are great about starting chants and creating that. And so we're going to use recordings to make it sound as if our students were there performing those chants. And we worked with our tech services people. Michaela helped a lot with this and can kind of speak more to it as well. But we wanted to make it sound more natural because, you know, in an arena, when you're playing music, when there's nobody there, it echoes, right? And so you have to take that into account to ensure that we are not making it sound like a hollow venue. And so we worked with our tech services staff, Michaela from a game ops standpoint, in creating a speaker system that would essentially take away the echo and make it sound very natural.
I think just the biggest thing from all of our ends was, the meetings on the court were so important. I think, like, obviously, you know, sometimes we would have Zoom meetings and whatever, but when we were on the court, it was totally different to be able to really get an understanding of what it looks like and kind of what we could do and how we could make things work. So I think that was really important. And just testing everything out, like the night, I think it was the night before the first scrimmage, we tested out the sound system that we, you know, had with the speakers, and we played around with it and went, you know, in different places in the stadium to see how it sounded. And I think the scrimmages also were really helpful for all of those things too. For all the meetings that we had to be able to put it into play, I think was very helpful.
What especially Megan and Michaela are not saying, because obviously Debbie and I have been around for a really long time, but the way Megan and Michaela, you know, they've really had to know with this intuition exactly what the right feel at the right moment is. And that can't be replicated by anybody else. So when we're talking about the music, it's not just generic crowd undertone. So, you know, Megan has to know when, for example, our team is going on a run, the exact type of music to play. Or when our team is trying to get a stop, maybe what the chant is defense. So I think they're kind of underselling themselves a little bit on the attention to detail that has been really off the charts in this whole process.
I completely agree with Rachel. Everything she's saying is exactly right. And I think one of the really unique things about our athletic department, and particularly this team of ladies, is that we also ask for the feedback from the team and our coaches, and the communication from them to us on the things that they did not like or the things that they feel really good about is completely transparent. Our feelings don't get hurt. People don't, you know, decide, oh, well, you're wrong about that. We really listen to one another. And the trust that our players and our coaches have for the women on this call is, I think, pretty amazing. And I know it's got to be unique because we're talking about a very male dominated sport in men's basketball. And here they all are going, all right, well, you women, you've got you know, the right time to play that song or play that music. And you know what it's supposed to look like in the gym and how it feels right. And I think that's an amazing characteristic of this whole process that has really come to light, that, wow, we are very well respected for our ideas and implementing them. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Go girls. Love that. What were some adjustments that were potentially made after some of the scrimmages or practices that you guys have been able to implement?
One, we will never, ever, ever play the song YMCA ever again. We're done with that. Never again. It's off the list. Deleted. Yep. That was one. What else, Megan?
I think we've played around a lot with the level of music and crowd noise and band. You know, we have recordings of the band. We have played around a lot with our speaker system in the sense that we are able to sort of directionally play things. So, you know, we can play the band from where the band normally sits in Cameron. So that's a cool, unique perspective. And just kind of playing around with how things feel. And, you know, I create sort of the script for a regular game day. So timing of things has definitely shifted based on some of the differences with the situation and how the team wants to operate, how they want to get ready for game day mentally, because this is a completely different mental space for them to be in. And so, you know, we want to adjust and ensure that we're, you know, doing everything to give them the best experience.
I think one of the best things that came out of those scrimmages, I don't know if you remember, Megan, but after the first scrimmage, a few of us kind of got together and we were like, okay, what are action items? Like, what do we need to fix for the next scrimmage? And it was really productive. And I thought everyone had really great ideas. And one thing that we've been kind of playing around with that was helpful from the scrimmages is we have a microphone system set up. Since we have plexiglass, you can't really hear anything once you're in the plexiglass. And so we have a microphone system set up for the officials to talk to the scores table crew, which has been really great, not only for the plexiglass, but just because everyone's distance for them to be able to hear. So there's a microphone on the other side of the plexiglass on the court side. And then speakers set up all in the first row of the scores table, the second row, and then where Megan and the PA announcer sit upstairs. So we were kind of playing around with who, you know, how does that microphone work? Is it on the entire time? Does someone have to press it to, you know, turn it on? Who is that person? And we changed it around a few times, but those scrimmages were really helpful. Had to change some things around for the scores table with the plexiglass just to make it more functional for everyone and for TV as well. But the scrimmages were huge in finding all of those things. And I was really glad that everyone was really committed to finding those action items after each scrimmage to make it better.
Like, I don't think we're ever going to be like, this is it. This is what we're doing the whole season long, because things are going to continue to change and continue to have to be adjusted. And so I think that the nice thing about this group is we're all very flexible and we understand that. And we know that at the end of the day, we're going to get our heads together and we're going to figure it out and make it the best that it can be.
So Tripp Durham is the PA announcer, the voice that you hear inside Cameron Indoor Stadium on game days, as well as in Wallace Wade Stadium. But for basketball, it's so important with announcing the team to the Cameron Crazies. Does that change at all? Or is that still pretty similar?
And now, basketball fans, the starting lineup for your Duke Blue Devils. Introducing a 6'1 senior from Washington, D.C., number 3, Tyler Thornton.
He is still doing his whole thing. He is still as electrified about it as he would be if we had, you know, everybody in Cameron. He is going to bring the same level of excitement, because at the end of the day, we still want to amplify and get excited for our players. And so we want to make that feel very natural and exactly how it would be on a game day if every seat in the house was full. And so I think he does a fantastic job with that. And I think he's going to continue to do a great job. And he really does make the game day so special. And I really enjoy working with him. I work hand in hand with him throughout the year. And I think the other cool thing that he does bring to the table is he has a lot of experience in athletics and athletics marketing and game day atmosphere. And so he also is able to bring some feedback and thoughts to each of us and sort of help make our job, you know, give us ideas and make it easier. So.
All right, I gotta ask, because I know people are gonna be wondering, we still gonna hear every time we touch? What does that sound like?
You can't have a game. Of course. You can't play Duke basketball. There are a few things that are needed to make sure that a men's basketball game goes as planned. One is baby needs to be in the gym, and that's been taken care of. So we have temporary custody, this group of women, have temporary custody of baby for the season, and she will be there. And I don't know if you know this. Did you know baby has a name?
I actually did. Can you tell people first the story behind baby and why the baby is so important to Duke basketball?
So baby has been in Cameron for a very long time. And it usually is found in a baby carrier or a baby Bjorn, you know, strapped to one of our line monitors who is her caregiver through that season, or even sometimes even longer, sometimes like a 4-year custody of baby. And when somebody dunks in Cameron or we do a great play, baby is held up out of her baby carrier and the students chant, "Oh baby, oh baby," and point to baby. So for a very long time, baby has just been known as baby. I only learned this year that baby's name is Cammy. Who knew? I did not know that. No, I know. I just learned. It would have been very awkward for us to be taking care of her and not know her name. That would be really very uncomfortable.
Baby does have a mask too. I will throw that out there.
Another thing you have to have to play Duke basketball in Cameron Indoor Stadium is you have to play every time we touch. You have to. I mean, I think it's sacrilege to do it any differently. Don't you, Megan?
Oh, yes. It would not be a game without every time we touch. Mind you, we also can't start a season without playing every time we touch. So after our first sound test, we officially played it to make sure that, like, this is the sign that we are going to have Duke basketball this year.
That's right. And the final thing is what you mentioned, Tripp. And he is such an intricate part of the atmosphere in Cameron. You cannot play a basketball game without having Tripp say, "Here comes Duke.
Here comes Duke."
How did you guys come up with the graphics, where the student sections will sit, student section is, and what pictures? How did you determine which pictures are going to be in Cameron?
So we have to give a huge shout out to Reagan Lunn, our photographer for Duke Athletics, because without him, none of this is possible. Fortunately, throughout the years, he has taken great crowd photos of the Cameron Crazies. And so we had him literally send every picture that he ever has had to Zebra Dog. And it was quite a process that Debbie and I went through with ZD, where I think that we're up to something like 780 some camera individual students that we had to parse through, and ZD photoshopped them together. But Debbie and I, being the people that we are, the kind folks that we are, wanted to make sure that we didn't catch anyone in a bad moment, because this is, you know, they're about 2.5 times life-size people. And so you're up there for a pretty long time, we think, throughout this season, larger than life, literally. So, you know, we didn't want anybody to have a bad hair day and be up there for all their friends and family to see. Right. So in all sincerity, we went through each picture and moved people around to spread out the crowd in different ways. And like I say, you just don't want to ruin. It should be fun to be up in the student section, not something that you're embarrassed by, perhaps.
And we stayed authentic to where people are in the gym. So in the crazy section, in section 17, those are undergrads. That's who's in that section. And then in section, you know, in the end zones, we have our grad students, you know, closer to Rubenstein Pavilion. That's where they are. And then we have the pep band represented, and they're over closer to our locker room. And that's, to us, that was very important to remain very authentic to what the gym looks like. You know, I think it's funny to see, you know, other, like, maybe, you know, famous people in other people's stadiums and things like that up in the stands. That's fun and funny, but we have our own celebrities in Cameron, and our celebrities are our kids, our undergrads and our grad students. And we want to make sure that we pay honor, you know, to them and let them know we really miss them being there in person. And then the other group of people that are really important to our program are our families. And so we are looking for creative ways to represent our families in Cameron as well. And so that kind of graphic will be behind our benches. So that's, you know, we don't like to necessarily, I mean, it's kind of fun when you look up in the stands and there's Snoop Dogg, but we prefer to see, you know, Cookie Monster.
Is there a fabric that's made out of? What's the fabric for the graphics of the student section?
So it is essentially a stretchy, almost like a thicker pantyhose type fabric, if you could, Spanx, like, if you will, that wraps around a steel frame. And so, you know, we have area, we can replace some sections if need be, and we will certainly reuse it. We all look forward to some more normalcy where we're allowed to do events and that kind of thing, and we'll be able to actually reuse this, and we can put different images on these frames.
We hit Terminus!
So not a lot of people will get the chance to stand in Cameron Indoor Stadium this season. So can you guys explain to us what that feeling is like to be on the court, to be on the stands, to see this player still playing the game of basketball that they love, but still see some quote unquote familiar faces in the stands with familiar Cameron crazies like the Cookie Monster?
So we were all talking ahead of time. We're like, can you imagine finally having our boys run onto the court to play basketball? Like, who would have thought we would have ever gotten to this day? And I look at Michaela, and Michaela goes, it's going to be okay if we cry a little bit. We can all cry just a little bit.
Yes.
So that's what it feels like. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been such an emotional, God, how many months has it been now? Like what, 800 billion months later. And for us to have just a tiny bit of normal life, where you get to enjoy watching kids play the sport that they love, it's emotional. And, you know, maybe that's the lesson that we all learned in all this, that we maybe took it for granted ahead of time. And now here we are getting to experience it, and we're so desperate to experience it. And so when you get to it, becomes, you get excited. And like I said, there's a few tears, not sobbing. I really held it together.
Yeah, you know, I have to add to that, Bex, like if you, at that first scrimmage, we were the lucky people who were able to be in there. But I remember looking down at the court and all of a sudden they're just playing basketball. The guys are playing basketball. And what was happening in the stands or anywhere else just went away. It didn't matter. And that's the way it should be. And, you know, I remember thinking at that moment that was the most normal I had felt, or the most normal thing I had seen literally since March. Yep. And I have great empathy for the folks at home who can't come, and the students who can't come, and the families who can't come. I think it's, you know, it's not good. It's bad. But I hope when they at least watch on TV or listen on the radio, that they will know that what's happening on the court is really still so great. It's so great.
And Megan, from a game day standpoint, what are some things that you guys are working on throughout the year?
Yeah, so I mean, I think we have some really great projects and ideas going to help kind of still generate that fan experience. You know, we are working right now on a project that hopefully will still be able to provide our fans a way to feel connected to our program. I guess you could call it like a second screen experience, if you will. And we're working through the details of that on what that looks like. But our hope is that we can provide opportunities for our fans to be connected with the program in ways that they usually are if they were in our venue and here on game days, but also potentially some ways that we can connect them with opportunities that they maybe were not offered before. And so we're still working through what that looks like, but you know, at the forefront of everything that I do is to ensure that we still have that fan connection and so that people feel connected to our program. And hopefully I can provide the best kind of fan experience for people in their homes, as well as what I do in the venue for our players. So definitely stay tuned because there will be lots more announcements throughout the year of opportunities, and hopefully we'll get some more specifics out soon.
What about the students on campus in Kayville? What would that potentially look like for them?
Yeah, so obviously, like we've said a bunch of times before, our students are essential to Duke men's basketball and what happens throughout the course of the season. And so one of our primary concerns, both Debbie and I, has been to really work with our student representatives, our line monitors, and our grad ushers, and trying to figure out a way for them to still get that quintessential Duke student experience through Duke men's basketball. And so, you know, we're hoping to launch a virtual Kayville and trying to come up with some ideas to create something along those lines. You know, we don't have a ton of specifics just yet, but we are trying to work through what we could do to still engage our student population and provide them with opportunities to stay connected to our program as well. You know, we host various events with them and the team throughout the course of a regular season. And so we want to still be able to do that, but obviously to do it safely, it all has to be done virtually, you know, whether that's, you know, just online events or videos that we provide them. You know, we're still working through all those details, but we are definitely going to have something up our sleeves.
Well, Debbie, you have a unique perspective relationship with someone on the team, multiple people on the team. Your son is on the team. What's it like to be a mother and watch your son go through a season like this one?
You know, I am incredibly fortunate to have my son play at a program like Duke, in that there's not a school in the country that's doing a better job of keeping our kids safe. No one. I would put us up against anybody in basketball and in safety this year. I feel very fortunate about our testing protocols, that my son is not put in harm's way at all, and especially not put in harm's way just in order to play a sport, right? Like this, their safety, their health is what number one importance. And you know, also having the head coach being my father is an interesting piece too, because he is actually a person that's in the risk department and the risk categories of COVID, right? You know, of COVID not doing well, if he were him not doing well by getting COVID. You know, he's in his 70s and he's you know, that's not a great thing. But Duke, again, has just done such an amazing job of keeping our world as clean from any issues as possible. So I feel really good about that. I also, I know how lucky I am that I get to actually just lay my eyes on my kid in the fact that I work there. And I cannot even imagine how hard, or I do know, I can imagine how hard it is for all these other parents who will not see their child or have not seen their children since August. That's really difficult. And so I want to make sure, as like a player parent representative, that we keep our parents in mind as well when it comes to how to stay connected. It's not just with our student body or our fans. We got to make sure our parents feel like they know what's going on with their kids. And so we have an email group, and we reach out to them. We do Zoom calls with them because it's hard. It's hard to send your baby away and then not be able to go cheer for him or her in the stands. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I do feel terrible for them, but I do also know that Duke is doing their best to do the right thing to keep students and parents safe.
Absolutely. There's no question. So again, the feel very fortunate that that's the case. And I also feel very fortunate that there's a group of people as creative as the women that are on this podcast with us that are willing to take extra time and extra effort and extra thought to try to make the environment in Cameron as authentic as it can be for, you know, my son and his teammates to play in there. I'm very grateful of that.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and let us know which guest you'd like to hear on the show. From Duke Athletics, I'm Rebecca Fiorentino.
This is Blue Devil 360, the official podcast of Duke Athletics.